This is Dee Blick. Welcome to Lead Well, Live Well for UK Health Radio. Hello and a warm welcome to Lead Well, Live Well with me, your host, Dee Blick. We're broadcasting on UK Health Radio, the world's biggest talk health radio station. Thank you so much for joining me. It's lovely to have your company. Now, my guest on today's show is a woman who is the co-founder of an incredible, fast-growing kombucha brand, Hollis, which is now sold in Waitrose, one of the most ethical supermarkets on the high street, and a recognised champion of brilliant producers that really need to get their fabulous products out there. However, what initially warmed me to her was her openness when sharing about her daily life on social media. Far from being polished and perfect, she shares the ups and downs of being a mum to young children, including a baby, and juggling managing a fast-growing and frankly fabulous brand with the challenges of daily living. So a warm welcome to today's show, Naomi Partridge.
Oh, Dee, you're going to make me cry. Thank you so much. That is such a lovely welcome. And yeah, it's a total privilege to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And I have to say, before we start, your kombucha is absolutely gorgeous. I've never tasted it before. And you very kindly sent me some samples, which have all been quaffed back. I just love the, the health-giving aspects. But the taste, of course, is important too. And before we start, because I was a kombucha virgin, I hadn't got a clue what it was, and I'm sure I'm not alone. I may well be in the minority, but can you tell me what is kombucha?
Yeah, I mean, great question. And I think you're not alone. It's an absolutely delicious gut health drink. So it is a chilled, sparkling, fermented tea, which creates an amazing sort of digestive support through naturally occurring organic acids, probiotics, and we flavour it with organic, natural flavour pairing. So it makes it taste incredible. You almost forget this is a gut health drink because it tastes that good. And we've always been obsessed with that. Like, let it be amazing for your body, but it has to taste incredible as well. It needs to have that real craft taste. So that's what kombucha is. And I'm so glad you loved it. And I will have to remedy that. I'll have to get you some more for your fridge.
It was fabulous. And also, I think that because I'm quite health driven and I look at things like nettle tea and green tea, and I honestly cannot go anywhere near it. So I was thinking when I was actually quaffing yours, this is like so delicious, lightly sparkling, gentle flavouring. I feel like I'm doing an advert now.
Yeah, we should get you on this.
It just had that impact on me. So I just love the fact when a product doesn't just do you good, but it also tastes good. And I wanted now to sort of take you back to the beginning, because I know that starting a business is daunting, it's exciting, it will keep you awake at night with a mixture of positive and negative emotions. So tell me, how did Hollis start 8 years ago and why?
I love how you just said, you know, it's a product that does you good, that tastes good. And our kind of mantra is brewed for good. That's our kind of key phrase. We even trademarked it because we so believe in that. And the reason for that is that we started our business really with a social mission. That's our why for existence. We support survivors of exploitation and trauma through providing meaningful work, and also supporting them with grants to help them rebuild their lives. So it's been right at the heart of why we do what we do. And kombucha is basically our vehicle for that, you know. So our origin story is pretty wild because of that background. So my co-founder, Megan, and I met in Cambodia on the streets of Phnom Penh, working with women out there who are being exploited. And whilst we were there, we saw this incredible power of employment in helping someone rebuild their life. And it just seeded this idea, like, how could we start a business in the UK that did that, that had that as its primary purpose? So we then went our sort of separate ways for a few months. She actually stayed in Cambodia a while. She got engaged to her husband, Joseph, another of our co-founders. I came back, started leading a charity, actually working with survivors of exploitation, running training sessions, employability programs in safe houses with a charity called the Sophie Hayes Foundation. But we met a few months later for coffee, and we were just like, you know what? I still feel like I want to do that business. And she's like, oh yeah, me too. And guess what? Last night I had a dream, and in that dream, I dreamt about a business, and its name was Holos. And we looked up the word, and it means whole in Greek, Aramaic language. And it just felt like, yeah, that feels right. You know, this is what our business is about. And so we thought, let's do a business to provide employment opportunities. What should we make? I mean, it literally was that order. Yeah, and we just researched it. We looked into it. This was back in 2016. We spotted kombucha as a product that was going to sort of increase here in the UK in a really significant way, as it has done. The gut health trend wasn't really that well known here at that point, and that was also on its way. And we tried it in our various places and thought, let's go for that. I got married to Tom and kind of weaved him into it as well. He'd always had a dream of starting a business. And when we introduced him to kombucha as an idea for it, he thought it tasted like cheese. And he was like, well, I'm happy to do this, but only if we can make this the best tasting kombucha on the planet. And so we all came in, you know, as four co-founders there, Megan, Joseph, Tom and myself. We all came in and essentially started saying, let's make this something. And we built it up from there. We had another co-founder who's part of it called Christine as well, and she played a really key role for a few years too. So it was an origin story led by a mission more than anything else, and a conviction of how do we create a business that truly is brewed for good, that has a social impact blueprint, but creates incredible products. So that's how it all began, with a meeting in Cambodia. I mean, really, absolutely wild, and a dream.
I think that is absolutely brilliant, and the fact that you saw a need and then you harnessed your desire to do something about it and turned it into a product that's now selling in Waitrose is it's testimony, I think, to, I talk a lot when I'm interviewing entrepreneurs, I talk about passion and purpose over mm-hmm. profit. And what I really got from listening to you there was that absolute drive, that passion and that purpose. And then, of course, we go into product. It's all well having passion and purpose if the product is mediocre. Mm-hmm. But the wonderful thing is that you took it all, passion, purpose, product, and now suddenly you've got this fantastic product, and it stemmed from your desire to do good. And I think for me as a businesswoman, I've always been driven by that purpose, passion, doing good, supporting others. You know, if we've been given talents, then why on earth can we not use them without attaching a price tag to them? So I think that's just amazing. And we've got a couple of minutes to the first break, and we'll talk about it more after the break, but I would love you to share some of the wows of this brand along the way, including that Waitrose win, because I know what it's like to get into Waitrose, how hard it is. You really have to have a great product. You're not going to blag your way in there, but just give me an indication of some of the wows along the way, but absolutely including that Waitrose win.
Yeah. I mean, the very first one was we knew we needed a bit of support. So we applied for an impact accelerator, kind of a program for businesses. And we turned up with this bottle of, quite frankly, disgusting tasting liquid at the time. You know, kombucha is a craft product. You've got to learn how to make it well. And we just pitched and we just shared our vision and our heart. And Tom and I then went off on our kind of delayed honeymoon. And one day before we flew back, we heard the news. We got onto this accelerator. And that was our prompt. And we said, if we get onto that, Tom's going to quit his job. And so he did. He quit his job to do this. And it was like a sign, you know, it's like, actually, this is our moment. Other wows along the way, we got quite an early listing into M&S, actually. So we were in M&S for 2.5 years from 2021, whilst they were kind of testing the kombucha concept. That's a wild story into that in terms of how we made that happen. But that was an amazing moment. And then they brought out their own craft kombucha, which was, I think, a kind of nod of respect to the role that truly great tasting craft kombucha can bring. Getting 3 Great Taste Star awards for our Citra hops, almost unheard of. I think there's only maybe one other kombucha brand that's ever done that. So we were thrilled by that. And of course, the win into Waitrose and Tom Hunt from The Guardian telling the world, thank you, Tom Hunt, that we are the best kombucha available in the supermarket in his Guardian review just weeks after we got into Waitrose was just a magical chef's kiss, you know. So that would be some absolute wins for us.
Gosh, that's fantastic. I think just the Waitrose alone, but being in the Guardian newspaper, which in the UK is one of the most popular and probably, I would imagine, read by your audiences. Ooh. And so we're just going to go to a short break now. And then after the break, I want to pivot and talk about some of those setbacks and how you handled them. And I'm also fascinated to find out, I mean, you're a very successful businesswoman, but do you get overwhelmed and have to shake off imposter syndrome? That's a regular feature on my show. I should call it the imposter syndrome slot. But so don't go away. We'll be back in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hello and a warm welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick. And I've got the wonderful Naomi in the studio today talking about kombucha and Hollos, the brand that she started as a social mission. You know, we're going back 8 years and how amazingly it has been, and the journey is far from over. But Naomi, I just wanted to ask you, you must have had as a startup, a fledgling business. I mean, I know you're much more mature now, but you must also experience those early setbacks. And I just wondered how you handled them, because for me, I do take setbacks quite badly. I need to process them, go away, hide in a corner, wail, then come back and think it's okay. I'm over it now. I'm absolutely mad.
The whale method. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So tell me, how did you, some of those early sort of setbacks and how you handled them?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, part of this is the power of having a group of founders, and everyone's played their part by bringing that resourcefulness and resilience at times. If one is down, then others keep it going. I think that's always been there. And we're founders united with a kind of faith, a sense of real purpose here. So that in itself is a great fuel. It's like, let's keep doing this because we're trying to help X number of people who've been exploited. We're trying to, you know, we've got a woman working in our factory who is rebuilding her life right now. Let's keep this ship going. So we're helping her. So I think there is power in the why. And that's fuel. And I know I see that in you as well, you know, in terms of your just strength to keep going because you believe in what you're doing. Real setbacks for us have been, I mean, we started on market stalls. Kombucha, it is a craft product. It's particularly when you're making it authentically as we are. So there were days when we would turn up and we would taste it and we would literally go straight back home again because we're just like, we can't sell this. There's times we got feedback, this tastes like salad dressing. Have you considered that instead? You know, all sorts. So there's a lot up front in the market. I've got so much respect for market traders. It's one of the hardest jobs I've ever done, going out there on a Sunday morning, freezing cold and just selling. And it's tough. We've faced COVID. We've faced economic uncertainty. It's been a tough few years for consumer goods, really for any business, I think. So during COVID, we had a brewer who's from New Zealand, and he basically left overnight. We sort of lost him to get back to New Zealand on the last flight out. Wow. Which was totally understandable and required, but obviously then suddenly, okay, we have no brewer, right? Where do we go from here? But that opened up the door for Joseph to get more involved, which was absolutely critical. We won that M&S contract, which was incredible, in 2021. But then the day after we won it, we found out that our bottle was no longer being supplied because of COVID challenges with transportation. So we had 5 weeks to source a new bottle to convince M&S that they would indeed like this one instead. And to get it on shelf, which was a huge endeavour and required a huge amount of faith, but also incredibly hard tenacity work from Tom in particular. But actually, that bottle that ended up getting created for that range is now the kombucha bottle. You will find almost every craft kombucha in that bottle if you have a look on the shelf. So it's quite incredible how all these challenges and setbacks led us through. And then, yeah, multiple stars, knowing that we were actually going to be pulling back out of M&S, that they were going to be making their own. That was a huge challenge, needing to rebuild the business. And because it had been such a huge contract for us, we hadn't focused enough on the other stuff. We hadn't had the capacity to. We'd had a lot going on personally with families at that time. And you know, you live and learn, don't you, through this experience. But we've had to build the business back up and make it a much healthier profile, more direct-to-consumer sales. So that's been a huge challenge. And then doing all of this alongside, between the co-founding couples here in Sussex, having 6 kids, basically within 7 years. Wow. We've almost had one a year. I mean, we're done now. No more from us. But it's really been extraordinary, that juggle, as you named earlier. I probably wouldn't have chosen to do the two at the same time, but that's what's happened and been needed. So, and we're blessed by that, but wow, it's been a stretch. So that's just a few pieces.
Wow, there is so much that I could come back to you on that your answer, because I've spent most of my career working with businesses like yours, and I really get that about being on the market stall and the bluntness of the response. It's very started selling my books, and people can be quite brutal without realizing they're being brutal, and you almost have to take it on the chin unless their brutality strays into other territory. Yeah. But and I really feel for you with the M&S, that you're there, you're excited, you've got this product, you're almost punching the air, high-fiving, then you get that gut-wrenching news. And I've worked with one particular global brand that had the same thing with the bottle that he supplies in America, and that having to scrabble around and find something while saving face. You're very much like paddling furiously underwater and trying to keep it chilled on top. So I think it's a testimony to the quality of your product, the product provenance, which is just gorgeous, but also your resilience as individuals. And I think at times like that, you cling like somebody on a raft in a bobbing sea. You cling really onto your why and your purpose, because if you founded it purely on profit, if it's devoid of passion, if it's devoid of purpose, and also it being a social mission, then it could quite easily fold like a pack of cards. But I often think, as a business founder myself, that in the dead of night, that's what keeps you waking up and thinking, we're going to sort this out, we're going to keep going, because we really believe in what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, I formed this really lovely impression of you. It was on LinkedIn. We've never met before. In fact, today is the first day we've spoken. But I got this really fabulous, rounded impression of you. The things you're sharing, I'm thinking, yeah, that's exactly how I thought she would be. But like so many women, you are a consummate juggler. Do you get days when you feel overwhelmed, or you have to shake off the dreaded imposter syndrome?
I mean, every single day. I just, the growth curve of learning that I'm on is, it's like a wall. It's so interesting how you're saying about, you know, we're chatting earlier about that little self-talk that we can experience, that I find particularly motherhood as well has really opened that up even more. You know, you can feel like you're winning, and then seconds later, you've got someone crying on the floor. You've got, you know, you've got, it's never kind of like this stable, calm trajectory. It's so up and down. And I'm finding it's that stretching my self-talk out a lot more. It's driving a lot more of that imposter, and I'm having to really fight that actively, come back to truth, and come back to what's real and actual. What can I do right now? Trying to step away from prove and step more into improve, and like, okay, that didn't go well, what do we do next? So yes, it's just a part of life, but I do think there can be freedom in it, but it's taking more work than ever to find that freedom from that little cheeky voice in my head.
Yeah, and we keep going, don't we? And I think that voice, we always have to challenge the voice that pops up, that tries to take us down or tell us that we're not good enough. And I've had to replace not good enough with more than good enough.
Oh, I love that.
It's just so important, isn't it? Because often we're surrounded by people that love us, that get us, but fundamentally we have to believe in ourselves and start by being our own cheerleader before we can open the door and let others in to be part of that spectacular process of challenge and yes. and of growth. We've literally got 1 minute for the next break, and I just want us to, you made a comment on LinkedIn that you were, and I'm going to quote you now, feeling out there as a female founder whilst, you said, coping with all the associated hormones and health challenges of fertility journeys, pregnancy, birth, post-baby life, alongside the raw ups and downs of challenger FMCG. Just let's talk a minute on that, then we'll come back to it after the break. So I thought that was just such a beautifully put, raw and honest assessment of where you were that I think will inspire other women and men.
Yeah, I'm so glad that spoke to you, and that, yeah, we connected through that. I think it's interesting because, you know, when someone becomes a mother or a parent or a caregiver in some way, then you're going through this kind of cocoon change, and part of you wants to be in a cocoon, right? You want to take me away from the world right now, because I'm not the same person I was before. I'm evolving. And the thing I'm finding with female founderhood and trying to be more present and in both leading the business, but also out there, it's talking like our conversation today. I'm having this conversation. I was up twice in the night. Just before us, I was running around absolutely mad. The house is crazy. There's just a lot going on in my sort of surroundings life. And so I think there's this piece about how do I sort of integrate all of that? I integrate the fact I'm growing, I'm changing, I'm out there and trying to do a great job for our business and our brand. I'm trying not to have a public meltdown on LinkedIn, but I'm trying to be real and authentic. And that's the juggle. And how do I think more clearly, think thoughts that are helpful and that serve me, and trust the good intentions of others?
Oh, I love that. I really do love that. And I think that we can bust the myth that we need to be some kind of swashbuckling superhero where nothing affects us, that, you know, you can. I've got a little grandson, and I was aware the other day when I went out that because I've been brushing my teeth and brushing his, I had toothpaste all over my jumper. And I looked down and thought, oh, goodness me, this doesn't look great for a chat. And then I think I just explain it away. So although we're at different stages, I really get your ability to be honest about what is happening, because if we lie to ourselves and think everything's wonderful, that's when we can start to crumble. And I think there's power in the sharing of the here and now and of our vulnerability and our magnificence. I talk about it being flawed and fabulous, which we are, aren't we? We're just flawed in all the things that are going on, but we're absolutely fabulous. And I'm just aware we're now at the second break. So don't go away, lovely people. I hope you're enjoying my conversation, but this lovely interview with Naomi, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling. Cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong? I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity. Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello and welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me and the absolutely gorgeous Naomi Partridge, who's in the studio with me today, talking about her fabulous brand, Hollis Kombucha, which is absolutely gorgeous and quenching. And it was founded out of her and her co-partners, this social mission to do good and put their purpose and their passion above profit. And look where it's led them. They're in Waitrose. It's a rising brand. And most importantly, it's delicious. Now, Naomi, can you, again, I'm going back to, I was all over your LinkedIn feeds when I thought, I really want to interview that lady. And you talked about your goal, which is to throw off a quote, a few shoulds, and replace them with intentionality, awareness, pragmatism, and play. Let's just focus on you telling me what these words mean.
Yeah, I mean, they are kind of some buzzwords, aren't they? So yeah, I'll bring them to life. Intentionality for me is being really clear on what is it I'm here for, what is for me to do that actually only I can do, or I can do the best with the position that I'm in and leave the rest to others. And just getting really intentional on that, like, what is it for me within my life, like, actually, who needs me right now the most? In this moment, not necessarily even at a kind of, you know, big goal level. It's like today, what's needed? And just taking a few minutes to really think about that. And awareness, that second word really links to that, because we can only do that when we are aware, when we're noticing, when we're paying attention, when we're course correcting, when we're spotting what's really going on, when we're being present, taking some deep breaths that give us that perspective rather than getting trapped in our own narratives and thinking, actually really noticing what's happening around me, what's happening within me, and therefore what's needed now and how do I serve that. Was it pragmatism? I think it's interesting, particularly in the area both of challenger brands, and anyone really building something that's a bit different or pioneering something, but also in the space of parenthood, there can be a lot of comparison, there can be a lot of noise. It can be really challenging to not sink into that well of of comparison, that I'm not as good, I'm not good enough, or, you know, it's a real joy thief, isn't it? When we see what someone else is doing and we think, oh, I wish I was doing that, I should be doing better. And social media doesn't help that a lot. So pragmatism is just saying, actually, what is within my power to do? What can I, if I feel like I'm noticing, I wish I was doing something better, I wish we were doing better, what pragmatically is within my power, you know, to actually make a change, rather than turning all that energy into worrying about it or comparing, which is really unhelpful, turning that energy into action. Like, I will therefore take this action. Okay, now I've started to move towards that. And play, it's just noticing that, you know, so many great things came from that spirit of play. To be playful, you need to be present. To be playful, it gives space for innovation. It gives space for joy. And, you know, it gives space for actually being able to be agile, because things are not as heavy. You know, when things become very heavy in our minds as founders, as parents, we get sort of bogged down in that. And actually, we stop operating at our best. When we can stay in a playful place and we can have fun with it, then we're much more able to make great decisions and do great things. So,
wow. And can I ask you, when these words, they mean a lot to me. I like very much you talking about being present and in the moment. And in fact, just I had a situation yesterday where I could have really immerse myself in negative self-talk. And I just thought, bring it right back to the moment. What's going on around you? Be present. Don't be immersed in negativity. It's so important that we do that. But I just wondered, these are quite profound words. They're not sound bites. They're words that resonate with you. How did you come up with them? Was it like a eureka moment, or did you think, have you evolved into that space of these words kind of defining your approach to life and business?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. I mean, I think it's interesting. I'm quite an extrovert, so I work things through both by talking, but I've realized by writing as well. I mean, I guess, you know, you're a writer. I guess you must be have that similarly as well. Sometimes things come together for me when I write them down. And it's a practice, you know, journaling's a practice that I had for many years throughout my sort of teens to 20s. I'm finding it harder to do it now, and I'm noticing that, because I'm realizing that space for journaling actually makes it clear. So actually, even writing, starting to write, like if I'm in a situation, it's feeling completely overwhelming, coming back to what's the anchors here. And those were the things that came to me. And the surprising one was actually pragmatism, but I find that quite helpful. Like just rather than finding it really scary, just turn it into a small, tiny action. And from there, I can move forward, whether that's in my business, whether that's in my family, whether that's on personal goals, you know. So,
you know, when I was listening to you there, I've got one of these minds that fires off all these little Sputniks, and there are so many things. And I was just thinking then, and I don't say it to everybody, but I absolutely think you should write a book. And before you say, Dee, what are you talking about? I went to the London Book Fair a few weeks ago. I had my little press pass, which gave me free coffee in the lounge and Danish pastries. That's how excited I was to be in the press lounge with free pastries. But really came out to me as I was talking to various publishers, and I'd actually arrived at this conclusion, so it was quite heartening that I wasn't barking up the wrong tree. There's a growing demand for short books, and by short I mean around 20,000 words, because often a book is not just your past, it can be a moment in time that you absolutely have to share because it's something of value. And I was just thinking about, we spoke about marketing before the show, because obviously I'm a marketer and we were chatting about guerrilla marketing. And I was just thinking then, you could easily write a 20,000 word book about your purpose, why you started the brand, the journey and where you are now. And I really think that not only would it become a bestseller, because I know how to get things into categories, but I think that you've got a compelling story that is well worth sharing, because your why is so abundant, it's so well-rounded, that I'm just thinking, if you've started the journey, you can publish now for very little. You'd have to talk to me after the show. I've got all the hacks.
I will.
Just digressing, have you not thought about using a book as a vehicle, because to share this absolutely magnetic story, and about you as this eminently approachable and wonderful female founder?
Oh, you're being so encouraging. I feel like I'm just like being showered with encouragement. You know what? We had thought about a book one day, but that's the phrase, one day. Yeah. It's interesting. You know what? I do a bit of songwriting. Just, I find, again, it's an expression thing. And I once wrote a song a Holos song. It's so weird, but with all the little miracle moments that happened, because we were facing a real big challenge, and I was like, I'm just gonna sing out the things that have happened over the years. And it was really encouraging. And so I do feel there's something about that creative expression. And I think sometimes I feel to be an author, you have to be sort of qualified. And so in my mind, thinking, well, if this all happens, then we can tell the origin story. You know, actually, maybe there's something about sharing the messy middle and that being enough. So, yeah, thanks for that encouragement.
Wow. I love that. But now I think as well that what puts so many people off, I mean, we're never authors till we start writing. You know, I wrote my first book. I wasn't an author till I'd written my first book. And I just think that now I think I'm on a mission to, particularly with creative, emotionally intelligent founders that have got a genuine story to share that can benefit others. I want to show that writing a book does not have to be this burdensome hill that you climb and you're exhausted every step of the way, especially if you scale down the size of it to 20,000 words, because that's eminently achievable. And then you bring somebody on board. I mean, obviously, I've got to be careful. The whole show will drift into us talking about your imminent book. I say imminent.
I love it. You're making it happen.
You can get people that will sponsor it. So an editor for 20,000 words will probably sponsor it in exchange for publicity and loads of bottles of kombucha, that kind of thing. But what I'm really getting at is that I think you've got something of real value to share, but I think it will also act as a brilliant business card for your brand, because as agile creative entrepreneurs on shoestring budgets, we absolutely have to look at creative and cunning ways that appeal to our talents, but that we can use to really showcase our brand. And I'm just mindful of the time. I've got to get you back on again. So if you write a book, I'll get you back on.
All right, there you go. That's the incentive. Just 20,000 words down. I definitely take you up on that, Dee.
Tell me about your vision for Hollis. Now, I really want to know that you're on this wonderful journey. Of course, it's fraught with angst and pinch me moments combined with head in howler hand moments, which is just the journey of a founder and an agile entrepreneur. But what's your vision for this wonderful brand now?
Yeah, I mean, going back to our why and really looking at the impact from that side. So far we've provided work for 15 people who've been exploited, and we've provided over 1,000 hours of those placements. And we've just started our grants program, which is much more scalable, because we have our Hollis Foundation, which is our kind of charity arm. It part owns Hollis, and 2p of every can we sell, and increasingly of the bottles as well across different contracts, go into Hollis Foundation, and that pumps out grants that go to women who are rebuilding their lives, who've been exploited, towards really whatever they decide is helpful at this point in their life, whether that's therapy, whether that's an iPad, whether to get to do a program, whatever, you know, working with them and with their sort of caseworkers to help kind of what's the best thing that can intervene right now. So from that side of things, the vision is to just expand that impact so significantly that it makes like an astonishing impact in the lives of many, many more hundreds of survivors, particularly through those grant programs, which is much more scalable as we grow. From the Hollis side, what's required for that is huge growth. It's huge growth. We'd love to get into more retailers. We'd love to build more of our consumer following. But really, I guess my passion is to role model that literally from the start. You don't need to wait till you are even at the break-even, huge brand side of things to make a tangible difference in someone's life. Actually, sometimes, yes, it does cost more to do that. Quite often it does. If it really counts, and if it's someone who really, truly needs help, it probably will. But who else is going to do that? And if businesses aren't stepping up into that place, then we can't just be relying on government, on charities. It's actually everyone needs to play a part against some of these social injustices. And I really believe that from day one, founders should be thinking, what's our part to play? And much, much more beyond kind of a certificate on the wall, even beyond the supply chain work is really important and critical, but actually just through their operations, if your impact is not hitting your operations, if it's not costing you something, then you have to question, is it true impact and what more can be done? And so that's my real passion, is how do we grow this business to show that you can make an impact blueprint work, that it can make a huge difference in a really innovative way. And it can be that challenger to really wake up even more purpose. You know, there is a purpose movement happening. There's a shift from purpose washing to true impact. Let there be more of that, and let us be a role model for that. That's that. If we achieve that, I would be so thrilled, because that's my real heart behind it. Growth in every way. Brood for good.
Fantastic. And again, when I was listening to you, the Sputnik thought was, you really should be on stages at big events like the business show talking about this. So you're obviously you're a great communicator. And is that something that you do? Do you speak on stages? Because you jolly well should.
I do a little bit. I would love to do more. So If anyone's listening,
well, I'm listening.
Then, you know, you're listening, and it's just that opportunity would be amazing, because there's that quote, isn't there? From I'm going to be really embarrassing now. From a runner, and he said, he had a faith. God made me fast, and when I run, I feel this pleasure. I feel joy. I love speaking. I can see it in you too. I just feel so much joy when I speak. So yeah, speaking always is so much fun, and love to speak more. But it's just a pleasure to be in conversations with people like you that are just so encouraging and have done it and have shown the path. You've pioneered the way. So I'm learning so much through this conversation. Thank you.
I'm sure we'll speak after today. I mean, I just think definitely public speaking, big tick. Writing your founder short book, you know, that's
I just need to start writing this small to-do list.
I think a bit of guerrilla marketing. I can't, whenever I'm interviewing, unfortunately, my head goes into marketing ideas. I'm thinking they should be doing this, and this, but we'll have to chat after the show. But I'm going to hand over now to get you to share your inspiring quote for me. You've got the chance to flick the switch and ask me a question, but something just popped into my head that's so profound and so deep. What's your favourite flavour of kombucha? So tell me the bottle that you reach for time and time again. Are you allowed to have favourites?
We do. We've all got favourites. Mine's Citra Hops. It tastes like a crisp, non-alcoholic IPA on a summer's evening. Pour it into a wine glass or a beer glass, and it's, you know, it tastes amazing, but it's good for you. It's, you know, it's non-alcoholic. It's that kind of adult soft drink. So yeah, Citra Hops all the way for me. We were so proud when we brought it out. How about you? What's your favorite?
Well, mine was the ginger, but I also like the one with, I think was it mint?
Apple and mint.
I'll tell you why. It's no secret that I don't drink, because I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've been in sobriety now for many years, and I'm always keen to taste a lovely drink that's good for me. So when I got your box, it was like happy days.
I love that.
None of the family were allowed it, because I don't use wine glasses, but I've got some lovely tumblers and I just pour it. I like watching the bubbles and I just glug it back. And so I just thought we couldn't let the interview cruise to an end and not ask you about your favourite flavours. And are there any flavours that are coming up? Are there new flavours you're experimenting with?
Well, there's two things we're up to at the moment. So over the summer, we are relaunching our brew kits, actually. So people can start to make their kombucha at home. So I have to send you one of those, Dee, as well, if you fancy making a homemade hollos. These have been actually quite a sneaky sort of success, but we're going to encourage more people to do it, because, you know, it's just brilliant to have your own kombucha on tap at home. It's good for you. It's quite a craft and fun activity. We want to invite people in on that process. And then coming up in October, get ready now, is our mulled spice kombucha, which was a huge hit last year. It's Christmas in a kombucha. It's that chilled, sparkling, cold, you know, fallen festive, I guess.
Festive. I thought we're not drunk.
autumnal and festive kombucha, and it tastes incredible, really incredible. So that's coming out in October. Watch this space, and hopefully it will be not just available consumers, but we'd love to get it into a few of our stockists as well.
So. Absolutely. I love the non-alcoholic festive punches, because I always feel a bit left out at Christmas when everybody's quaffing back their drinks. Mm-hmm. And I'm all over that. I'm already anticipating that when I'll be putting an order in. But right, back to the show. I want you to share your inspiring quote with me, please.
Yeah, here it is. So this is in keeping with what we're talking about today. John Wesley, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can.
Wow. Okay. If ever there was a little introduction of a quote to your first book, it's that one, isn't it? Last time we'll hear or see that. I think that's amazing. And tell me, what is the one question you would like to ask me?
Oh, there's actually so much. I've kept this for our interview because I knew more would come to me. I guess, Dee, what would be the one word? We talked about the values words earlier. You know, what would be the one big word for you? So you mentioned presence. So what's the one big word you've learned to really live by that's contributed to who you are today, the success you've had? Love to hear that.
Gosh, I always go with the first word that springs to mind, and it's not professional, but it's kindness. I truly believe in the value of kindness, in very much as you've said in this beautiful interview with me, that if you've got an opportunity to be kind, do so. Not necessarily for wanting some karmic gain from it, but just to know that you've done something that's made a difference. And I've lived by this for many years, because when I came into recovery from addiction, it was gratitude. I was just grateful that it saved my life and it made my life. Then as I've sort of gone through life, I've been very blessed with all the gifts that I have been given. And mine is about just be kind. If you can give somebody a bit of free advice, give it. If you can chuck an extra few notes into the charity box, then do it if you can, because there's just something that's, this is not about being goody, but a goody two-shoes. There's something quite wonderful and selfless when you are motivated by kindness. It doesn't stop me being at times full of nonsense, fear, self-doubt, a bit of ego. How dare they? Why are they not? But fundamentally, I would say that my modus operandi now is to be kind, because it's just wonderful, isn't it? If you've been given it, it's there to share. And I think that's brought me back to you, that although you might not have said kindness, there's a fundamental loveliness and lovingness and kindness about what started you on this mission. It was selflessness. It took you out of you. And it was like, we can do so much better for these people. We can be at the lead of this purpose movement. And fundamentally, you're propelled by being really decent, kind, nice people. And in today's turbulent world, that is something to be celebrated. So I don't know what you think about that as a long-winded, waffling answer.
Well, it's what I think. It's also what I feel through this interview. I feel that from you. I feel that kindness. It's so, so present. So if that's your mission to live by that, then you've absolutely, in my experience of the last, 43 minutes, you have lived in that and fully. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, it won't be the end. I'd love to talk to you about giving you a little bit of support through payment being kombucha. I've got to say, payment is those lovely little brown bottles.
We can sort that out. Absolutely, please.
I want to be your, celebrity presenter, taste tester when that spicy stuff comes out. I'm all over
yes,
that.
Yes, please.
So I just want to say, Naomi, that brings us to the end of your time on today's show. And thank you so much for joining me and being just such a lovely, inspiring woman. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Absolutely loved it. Feel so encouraged as well. So thank you so much.
Right, and we'll have you back on when that book, when we get the spicy stuff, we'll get a taste tester panel.
Yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it? Yeah, I'd love that. A Christmas themed one. Brilliant. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Dee. Thank you so much. Take care.
I would now like to turn to my closing comments. Now, if you listen to my show with Claire Mellon, you'll know that in celebration of the authors that have entered my Nonfiction Book of the Year Awards, I'm choosing one of the authors to read a passage from their book. And today it's from Michael Forrester's book, which is just so lovely. It's called Flashes of Insight, Gateways to Mindfulness. It's only a little paragraph. And it's from the chapter Clutching the Butterfly. We are dedicated change makers, we humans, always wanting things to be other than how they are, then grasping onto the impossibility of sustaining what we think we wanted. We change what is in order to make it suit our preference, then refuse stubbornly to see that the moment we have arrived at cannot be held. We miss the point that everything changes, not occasionally, not periodically, but continuously, moment by moment, each in-breath filling the space inside, each out-breath emptying, then the briefest of pauses when we touch the silence. Grasp it at your peril. you miss the point if you clutch the butterfly, breaking its wings as you hold it tight in your fist, destroying the very thing you are trying to sustain. There is congruence in opening the palm, knowing that the bright and colourful fluttering thing was never yours to possess. Why attempt the impossibility of ownership, possession, when there is another moment to be entered into? Focus on sustaining the moment that was, and you miss the moment that is. Receiving the power of now depends on permitting now to evaporate. I just love that. And I want to thank you so much for joining me and the lovely Naomi today. Stay tuned for more honest conversations with authentic leaders and great books that might just give you that motivation to dig deep and find your courage and strength. As always, I want you to pat yourself on the back, stand in your circle of power, and remind yourself just how absolutely brilliant you are. And until next week, this is Dee Blick sending you a big hug. You've been listening to Lead Well, Live Well on UK Health Radio.